You know, not only in movies, but in life, we can sometimes get confused. And when it comes to Christianity, we can get confused. If I was to ask you this question this morning, don't answer out loud, but answer it to yourself. If I was to ask you, what is the gospel? How would you respond? Because your answer to that question, you need to understand, is vitally important. Because the way you answer the question, what is the gospel, impacts how you view and how you live life. Now, I'd suggest to you, if you ask the average North American churchgoer, what is the gospel, the answer you would get would be something like this. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, and if we accept him as Savior, then we will be saved and we get to go to heaven when we die. That is what the average North American churchgoer would say is the gospel. Do you notice the focus? The focus is on sin and forgiveness and the afterlife. In other words, today we think the gospel is about the minimum entrance requirements you need to get into heaven after you die. Now, there's a slight problem with that. And that is, Jesus never said anywhere in the Gospels, now I'm going to give you the minimum entrance requirements for getting into heaven when you die. And yet, that is the focus of much of North American Christianity today. And as we continue today in our study in the Gospel of Mark, I want us to understand, I want us to grasp, because I think if we can get this, it changes your life, that the gospel is so much more than just sin management. We're going to look at two verses in Mark chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, go there. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Let me set the scene. Mark 1, 14 does that for you. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Now, understand here, Mark was not recording the beginning of Jesus' ministry here. And the reason we know that is other gospels say that Jesus had already ministered in other areas. What Mark is doing here is Mark is telling us why Jesus left Judea and headed off to Galilee. And the reason is Herod arrested John the Baptist. And so smart wisdom is, get out of town, Jesus. And so Jesus headed to Galilee. And do you notice? Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. That's the gospel. Remember last week? Gospel, good news of God. And what is the gospel of God? What was the good news, the gospel, that Jesus came to proclaim? Let me read you several verses and see if you can pick up the answer to that question. Mark 1:15, that's the verse we're going to camp on in a few minutes. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Luke 8:1, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. When Jesus commissioned his disciples in Luke 9, he said this, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them the power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. After Jesus was crucified and rose again, and he appeared to his disciples, he said to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. And in the 40 days, what did he speak about? He spoke about the kingdom of God. And then in Acts 28, the end of the book of Acts in the New Testament, it says this of Paul. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you summarize the good news that Jesus came to proclaim in one phrase, what would that one phrase be? It would be, well done, you pass. It would be the kingdom of God. As you read the Gospels, it's clear that Jesus central theme and his primary message was about the kingdom of God. Actually, you should go through the Gospels. Jesus spoke about the kingdom more than 100 times. His words, his miracles, his teaching, all embodied and demonstrated and announced that God's kingdom was now at hand. The good news, the gospel is about the kingdom of God. Now let's unpack Mark 1:15 a bit together. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus says the time has come. What Jesus was saying there, he was saying that a critical moment in human history had arrived. The promised time for God's kingdom to break through in a powerful and a unique way had come. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, what is the kingdom of God? We don't use the word kingdom much today. The people in Jesus' time did. We don't. But a kingdom describes the dominion of a king. It's a king's sphere of reign and authority. It's the sphere in which what the king says goes. For example, if I was the king of the country, a country, and Kenan was a citizen in my country, you could say that Kenan was under my dominion. He was in my kingdom. Meaning he would be a subject to the laws of my kingdom. He would be under my rule and my reign. He'd also experience the benefits of my wonderful kingdom. But kingdom describes the dominion of a king. Now, the truth is, if you think about it for a minute, the truth is it's not just kings that have kingdoms. In reality, all of us have a kingdom. And your kingdom is that little sphere, and it's very little, and it's smaller than you probably think, where what you say goes. Now, if you take all the little kingdoms, and you start joining them together, they form bigger kingdoms. And if you take all the bigger kingdoms and you join them together, you could say a conglomeration of all the kingdoms on this world would be called the kingdom of earth. And how are things going here on the kingdom of earth? Look at the Middle East. Not too good. Look at the tragedy in Oregon this last week. Not good. Donald Trump's running for president, okay? That probably says it all. That's the kingdom of earth. But now there's another kingdom, right? There's another kingdom. We've been talking about it. And I just called it, and it's called the kingdom of God. And you know, in Matthew doesn't call it the kingdom of God because he was writing to Jewish people. He calls it the kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to put the kingdom of heaven here. But it's the same thing as the kingdom of God. And so you have the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is as real as any kingdom here on earth. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is real and it exists. And so what is it? Well, author Dallas Willard says this. God's kingdom is the range of God's effective will where what he wants done is done. The kingdom of God is the range of God's effective will. It's the realm in which God's will and God's desires are being carried out. It's the sphere in which the rule and reign of Jesus is manifest. And you're saying, but isn't the rule and reign of Jesus manifest everywhere? No. Go to the Lord's Prayer for a minute. Remember the Lord's Prayer? And Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way. And you're to pray for what? God's will to be done on earth, in the kingdom of earth, as it is where? In the kingdom of heaven. You see what that implies? That means that God's will is not completely being done here on earth. In fact, we know that many things that are happening here on earth are not what God would will. And we know that one day his kingdom is going to come fully, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And when that happens, his will be done here on earth. But right now, as I've said to you a number of times, we live in this in-between time between God's D-Day and God's Victory Day. And as we live in this in-between time, God's will is not always done on earth. Thus, when Jesus says the kingdom of God has come near, what he's saying is that God's rule and reign from heaven was invading our rule and reign on this earth. Look again at Mark 1:15. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom that the Jewish people had been waiting for had come. It was now available, and it was within reach, Jesus was saying. Life in God's presence and power was now available to ordinary people. Why? Because Jesus was the kingdom bringer. When you read the Gospels, You see that Jesus manifested the reality of God's kingdom in his actions. He talked about God's kingdom. He taught about God's kingdom. He challenged people to pursue the kingdom. And his miracles offered a preview of the kingdom. An advanced screening, if you will, of the time when God would put everything right. Jesus went around telling and showing people that life in God's presence and power was now available to them. He came as the Messiah, the liberator, the kingdom bringer, all those things the Israelites had been waiting for and were looking for. There's only one problem. And the problem was this: Jesus was not the kind of king they were looking for. He was not the freedom fighter who would defeat Roman oppression and make Israel great again. Rather, he was a wandering rabbi who went around teaching and healing and challenging the customs and expectations of the day. And over time, as you know the Gospels, you know this opposition mounted. And finally, Jesus was arrested and he was crucified. And the Bible tells us as Jesus hung on the cross, God accomplished his plan to recover a fallen world. Because on the cross, Jesus took all the sin and all the brokenness of the world, past, present, future, so that the world might be healed and restored. Look at what it says in Colossians 1, verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Because of Christ's work on the cross, we've been forgiven. Because of Christ's work on the cross, we've been forgiven. That's awesome. Do you know what that means? That means if your sins have been forgiven because Christ's work on the cross, there's no condemnation. Do you understand that? There's no condemnation. There might be conviction. There might be consequences. But understand that if you've come to the cross of Jesus, there is no condemnation. So stop condemning yourself. When we come to the cross, do you realize we're reconciled? 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus." Because of Christ's work on the cross, that chasm that existed between God and humanity has been bridged. Because of Christ's work on the cross, you can have a restored relationship with God. That's good news. And here's something else. Because of Christ's work on the cross, we can enter his kingdom. Look at Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves. Because of Christ's work on the cross, When we come to the cross, understand this, we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. In other words, the cross is a doorway into the kingdom. Do you understand that? The cross is a doorway into the kingdom. You need to understand that. You need to grasp that, because that's life-changing. See, once a person has entered the kingdom through the cross, you know what that means? See, when I'm over here and I've entered the kingdom, the cross is a doorway into the kingdom, and now as I live as a kingdom person, I can abide in Christ's life and in Christ's grace and in Christ's power. Do you understand that? That is so, so important to understand, that if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to see yourself as a kingdom person. There are so many Christians today, and they're living defeated lives. Do you know why? Because they don't see themselves as kingdom people. They're living on the wrong side of the cross. See, we're supposed to live on this side of the cross, not this side of the cross. We're over here. On this side of the cross, we experience forgiveness and reconciliation, but then we also enter into, because of Christ's work on the cross, into his kingdom. And when we're on this side of the cross, we know Christ's life and Christ's power. You see, too many people live on this side of the cross where they know Christ's forgiveness and they're living as forgiven people, but they don't know Christ's power, because they're not living as kingdom people. Do you understand that? The cross is a doorway into the kingdom. You're transferred when you come to the cross from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The problem is too many Christ followers are living on this side of the cross. They haven't, in their brains, gone into the reality of where they are, which is over here. They're in the kingdom, and they're to live as kingdom people. Do you get it? Jesus just doesn't want you to know forgiveness for sins. He wants to let you have power over sin. But you won't experience that if you're living on the wrong side of the cross. You need to get on the right side of the cross. And here's part of the problem today. I was down in coming back from one of our trips down to Vicente Guerrero, and if you're in the Tijuana border lineup, you can buy anything there. I mean, they have things like, why are you selling that? You know, like, but they have these guys, and they walk around with these huge crosses with Jesus on them. Have you seen those? I mean, they're prominent in Catholic churches and other churches. Throw up the next slide. It's the idea of Jesus hanging on the cross. And these guys in Tijuana, I kid you not, these crosses are like this with Jesus hanging on them. And as I was standing there one day, driving, and I'm looking at this guy selling it, I thought, that's a problem. You know what the problem is? Too many people still see Jesus hanging on the cross. And when you see Jesus hanging on the cross, you have a death centered Christianity. And Christianity isn't meant to be death centered. Folks, Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's alive. Christianity is meant to be a life-centered, not a death-centered religion. And here's the reason why. I just said it. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Through his death, Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself, but then he was resurrected, and when he was resurrected, Jesus conquered death and the power of sin, and then he ascended. Jesus was raised when he was ascended above all, and he is above all authority. And when Jesus was enthroned, Jesus became the king. And today, Jesus is alive, and he's sitting on the throne, and he's the king. Jesus is alive, and so what you need to do is move past the cross into his life, into his kingdom. Don't have a death-centered view of Christianity. Have a life-centered view of Christianity. It will change your life, because when you start to understand that Jesus is the King and that He is alive, then His power comes into your life, and you can have that victory over sin that you are craving. And when you come to the cross, you enter the kingdom. And when you enter the kingdom, you know what? Jesus is King. And in this kingdom, here's good news. You get to live under His kingship. And you know, everybody goes, whoa, that's not onerous. That's a blessing. Because life is meant to live as human beings under the kingship of Jesus. We're not meant to be the king. Jesus is meant to be the king. And do you realize that when you come to the cross and you enter into His kingdom, you receive a new identity? The Bible says you're a new creation, and you get to see yourself in a whole new way. You get to then see yourself as a son or daughter of God. You are the most beloved child of God. As a kingdom person, do you realize that you're a saint who sins? You're not a sinner? Stop identifying yourself as a sinner saved by grace. Start identifying yourself as the Bible identifies you. When you come through the cross and you come into the kingdom, you're now a saint who sins. That is a vastly different identity. It's a new identity. And when you come into the kingdom, you get to receive the identity of being the servant of the Most High. And that is good news. When you come into the kingdom and you start seeing yourself as a kingdom person, you have access to life, to Christ's life and power. Understand this. The Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for us today. Boy, if that won't give you victory over something, I don't know what will. When we live as a kingdom person, we can not only experience forgiveness for sins, we can experience power over sin. So let me ask you today, which side of the cross are you living on? You need to live on the right side of the cross. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, okay, but how do I do this? How do I come and how do I know Christ's forgiveness, and how do I enter the kingdom? How do I do that? Mark 1:15 tells us. Let's go back there for a minute. It says this, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Now here's what Jesus says. How do I get into the kingdom? How do I go through the doorway of the cross? How do I get into the kingdom? Here it is. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Jesus didn't talk about the minimum requirements to get you into heaven when you die. Jesus says, here it is. Here it is. Two things. Repent and believe. The only way to get into the kingdom and walk through the doorway of the cross into the kingdom is to repent and believe. John had already been preaching repentance. Jesus added believe. Now, repent, as we've talked about lots, means to turn around and go a different direction. The word implies to have a change of direction or thinking that results in the change of behavior or lifestyle. Paul said it well in Romans 10:9 when he said this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll enter into the kingdom. You see, here's the deal. When you confess that Jesus is Lord, you're not only acknowledging that Jesus died and rose from the dead, you're also acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. You know what that means? Jesus is King. That means you're saying, Jesus, I acknowledge that you're the King. And when you acknowledge that Jesus is the King, you know the only appropriate response for us as a human being is to repent. It's to turn. It's to turn to Jesus, the King, and say, Jesus, you are King, and I'm going to bow, and I'm going to surrender to you, and I'm going to put my life into alignment with you, because you are the King. When you acknowledge Jesus as Lord, you get Jesus as Savior. And then you notice what Jesus says. Not only do you need to repent, you need to believe. Now, understand this, because we have a weird view of belief. We think today belief is agree with a bunch of propositional statements. That's not what believe in the Bible means. Believe in the Bible meant to accept, or really it meant to commit yourself, I guess is the best way to put it, commit yourself and give yourself to a relationship that was marked by loyalty and allegiance and commitment. Do you understand the depth of that? says, you're saying, Jesus, I'm in. I'm in. You're my king. I'm going to pledge allegiance to you. I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to acknowledge you're the king. And Jesus says, when you do that, you enter into my kingdom. Isn't that awesome? I think it is. And then here's the deal. Here's the deal. Okay, so you come into the kingdom, and as I said, now you live in, and you get to abide in Jesus. You get to abide in his power and his life, and you get to be a new identity. You're a son or a daughter. You're a servant of the Most High God. You're a saint, and you have all these new identities. And then you know what you get to do? You get to live as a kingdom person. You get to live under his kingship, under his rule and reign, and you get to live as a kingdom person. And let me take you back to the Lord's Prayer for a minute. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, as I said a few weeks ago, never taught us to pray, get me out of here so I can go up there. He never taught that, right? Rather, Jesus taught us to pray, God, make up there, come down here. Right? So what Jesus taught us to pray was, God, make up there, come down here. Jesus wants the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to invade the kingdom of earth. Imagine what that would look like. Imagine the kingdom of heaven, God's rule and reign, invading the kingdom of earth. Imagine what that would look like. Jesus said, when the kingdom of God breaks through, you know what? It is good news for the poor. It is healing for the brokenhearted. It's liberty for the captives. It's a sight for the blind, and it's freedom for those who are oppressed from whatever they're oppressed by. Imagine what it would look like. In the kingdom of heaven, are people sick? No. Kingdom of earth, they are. And so, when the kingdom of heaven invades the kingdom of earth, perhaps healing breaks out. In the kingdom of heaven, what are relationships like? They're good, by the way. So what's that going to be like on the kingdom of earth? What's that like? The kingdom of heaven, those kind of relationships breaking through. Can you imagine? Imagine in this city if the kingdom of heaven invaded Greater Victoria. What would it look like? There you go. Absolutely. Here's my question to you, though. Here's my question. Think this through. Do we really believe, I think I've emphasized that enough, that the kingdom of heaven can invade the kingdom of earth? Do we believe that? Because here's the deal. I said it a few weeks ago, and you all looked at me with your deer in the headlights look, so I'll say it again. We're God's plan for that. Jesus was the kingdom bringer. Guess what we are? Kingdom bringers. He's delegated the authority and the power to the people who live on this side of the cross to go out and be kingdom bringers all over this world. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to do exactly that. And that's good news. Not just for us. That's good news for the city. That's good news for Vicente Guerrero. That's good news for the world, that Christ followers living on the right side of the cross, seeing themselves as who they are to go out all over the city and bring up there, down here. Imagine what would happen. Imagine. Isn't that good? That's awesome. And that's why we say here at Sanage, we're all about living 6-8, living Micah 6-8, because that's the kingdom life. The kingdom life starts with walking humbly with Jesus, surrendering to him, having a right relationship with him, living on the right side of the cross so that he can empower you to go out and love mercy and act justly. And when that happens, the kingdom breaks out all over the place. The good news of the kingdom is that Jesus came to proclaim it wasn't about going to heaven when you die. Now, of course, his good news included forgiveness for sins. I've talked about that. Of course, it included that death would not have the final word. That's the resurrection. But the gospel that Jesus came to proclaim wasn't so much about going to heaven when you die. It was about getting into heaven before you died. In other words, it was about experiencing life in God's power and in God's presence now, here on this earth. When you enter his kingdom, you step into eternal life, a life that begins now and continues on into eternity. That is, and that was, and that is the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And so the question is this: where are you in relation to Christ's work on the cross? Where are you in relation to Christ's work on the cross? Are you way over here? Like, I'm way over here. Like, I haven't come to the cross. I'm telling you, the greatest thing you can ever do is do what Jesus told you to do, and that's repent and believe. And come to the cross and say, Jesus, you're Lord. And I want to experience your work on the cross. I want to know your forgiveness. I want to know a reconciled relationship with God. I want to know what it's like to live as a kingdom person. And maybe you're here today. You're a Christ follower and you've come to the cross and you're living on this side of the cross, and Christianity is death-centered for you, and you know forgiveness for your sins, but you've never got the perspective that you're living on the wrong side of the cross, that Jesus at the cross transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life, but you haven't moved yourself there. And you're wondering why you don't have power. You're wondering why Christianity seems so lifeless. It's because you're on the wrong side of the cross. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you to live out what is real. And that's to be here. On the right side of the cross, realizing that you are a kingdom person, that your sins have been forgiven, that your relationship with God is reconciled, and that because of the cross of Jesus, the cross is a doorway into the kingdom, and now as a kingdom person, you get to abide in Christ's love and grace and power. You have a new identity, and you have the ability to live the life that God wants you to live. And then you have the ability to go out tomorrow morning saying, Jesus, you're the King. I'm living as a servant of the Most High God, a beloved son and daughter, a saint, and I'm going out as a kingdom bringer to proclaim the good news and to bring the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is near. What's your next step? Take it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. Thank you for your word. God, I pray today that all of us, no matter where we are in our journey with you, would know the life-giving Christianity that you can give. May we all acknowledge you as King and as Lord, and may we line our lives up according to that. God, I pray that we'd all know your forgiveness and your empowering and your life, and send us out as kingdom bringers in our world so the kingdom of God can invade the kingdom of earth. In Jesus' name, amen.